B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Just had a really good interview with Peter Flaherty from Baseball America. If you're interested in the Nats prospects beyond Willits, right? Like the Willits conversation is going to dominate because he went number one overall. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't consensus. But I really enjoyed hearing about the other kids, the pitcher they took, the high school kid, 6'5", 190. We're going to have to get that kid bulked up a bit. We'd like to add a little to that frame so that arm can sustain the velocity. And then the power hitter from South Carolina. You can listen to that interview anywhere, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, whatever, or just check out the Odyssey app. Last night, Brian, I did something I'm not sure I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the entire Wizards Summer League game.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you the truth. At the second half, I did move it to up top TV because I started watching Mobland also. But I watched the entire. Mobland is good.
Mobland. Okay, I can deal with that. As long as you wasn't watching Below Deck.
Nah, not last night. Lauren went to bed. I don't watch it without her, obviously.
In other words, she makes you watch it. I understand.
Dude, there was a long period of time where she made me watch it. At this point, I just kind of like it. I've just kind of embraced it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to watch Hoops last night because I'm really excited about what the Wiz are doing. I wanted to watch Trey Johnson. I wrote this down, or maybe I put it in the text thread. In the pregame warm-up with Tim Legler, who I think is really smart, really good, Legler said of Trey Johnson, he's the smoothest guy getting his buckets in summer league.
And then you watch him do it over and over again. He goes between his legs, splits guys. When he goes up for the shot, everything just settles.
Dude.
And it looks just so damn smooth.
It really is smooth. Yeah. He can get his shot kind of whenever.
Yeah.
He was a plus 15, plus minus last night.
That's what we like.
Alex Saar last night.
8 blocks. Could have been more.
Dude, had the block at the end to kind of seal the win. I'm not trying to make too broad of a proclamation from Summer League, understanding that it's Summer League. But the kid, Riley, remember, I really liked.
That kid could play.
Dude, I really liked the Clayton kid. They drafted him from Florida. Then they traded him. Then they take the kid, Riley, from Illinois. He had a quiet, smooth 16 points.
He could play, dog. But the thing, like Saar, though, I think offensively, he has to, he panics a little bit. He has all the athleticism, all the talent in the world. He panics when the ball is coming to him, where like the little dunks where he could, the alley-oops, he could just throw it in. But he loses a lot of balls because of the panic. He has to get more under control.
Well, I thought the turnovers, I think especially when he gets the ball, like, not on the block and not out for an open three. He doesn't, there's no like mid-range game there. And these guys, nobody's trained with their like back to the basket anymore. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't have a drop step. But defensively, the effort and just the energy was super impressive. I mean, 8 blocks, dude. And what one thing with Saar that I thought was really encouraging, B, like, he can handle the ball pretty well. There was 2 or 3 instances last night where he, like, brought the ball down the court and then eventually found a guard, but was, you know, sometimes you see the big man bring the ball down the court and you're like, oh, boy. Like, with him, there's some touch. Like, it's not a challenge, and I think that'll only get better. I thought Bub played pretty well last night. Riley really encouraged me. And then Jeff's guy, A.J. Johnson, wasn't particularly good last night, but you could see the athletic tools are just off the charts.
Yeah.
But, like, that was a kid that was drafted on athleticism and potential and not a very refined game, mm-hmm. I would say. Jeffrey, is that your scouting report on him?
Yeah, I just think he got to bulk up a little bit. Because he's not afraid to attack the basket. He's not afraid to play defense, and he will jump with anyone to block their shots. I just think he needs to get a little bit more weight on him. And I have faith that the Wizards are going to get him right.
I'm not that worried about the weight. I think I don't want to be overly critical. I think dribbling's an issue. Like the handle. The handle ain't great.
Yeah, he's not the guy that's going to patch you up, but he is the guy that will get a step on you And once he got that step
and
in front of you,
flush you.
He's
flush
going, it on you. Yeah, he's going to put it on your head.
Dude, and he's super explosive. You could see it.
Yeah, he
you say he can shoot?
He can shoot it a little bit. Not now. I'm not saying like he can shoot it like, oh yeah, we throw it over there. He's going to nah. If he's set up and ready to shoot, he's going to make the shot. But that's the way that they're building. He's not going to have to worry about that.
Yeah. If he's like a seventh man that could come in and be an energy guy, a rebounder, play some good D, throw a couple putbacks in, I like that role. You, though, called him a supermax guy.
He can get there.
Dog.
He can. Hey, look, it takes some people some time, JP.
Sure. I had to guess of the supermax guys that I watched last night, Sar, Trey.
Yeah.
If I could change my answer.
Riley. Dude, what did Riley drop in the second half of that game, White Brian? See if you can figure that out. He had like a quiet dozen, I think, in the second half.
And now I got to change my answer, though.
Who is it?
It's between Trey and Sar for real, dude. Because the thing with Sar, he get his offensive game up a little bit. It, like, he's going to be a dominant piece. He was drafted as a defensive player. He was drafted to get boards and be a rim protector. And he can check anybody on the wing. I would put him out there like that. He's going to be all right. Last night showed a lot. I'm happy for the Wizards,
dude. Man. Last night had me hot for the Wiz. Like I want to order tickets. Further down the roster, a couple of people that stood out to me. Liam Robbins. I'm not sure he's. I don't know that he's going to give the Wiz a lot of minutes this year. I don't know that he's. So when Sar came out, Liam Robbins comes in. Big boy, big. He's big. Not a lot of game there, at least that I noticed last night. I don't want to besmirch Liam Robbins, but his stat line, which kind of supports my theory, he played 7 minutes and was a minus seven.
He gives up a point a minute.
Jameer Watkins is the young man they drafted out of Florida State.
Yeah.
You can see what his game is and what it isn't. He's an all-out effort hustle.
He's an effort, yep.
Total. He's that. Not a lot of not refined offensive game there. What did Riley do in the second half?
11 in the second half.
Dude, he was smooth. And Johnson is really smooth. I think there is some figuring out Bub and Trey and ball handling and like who's the primary ball handler, that kind of stuff. Because I don't.
Both of them could play, though.
Right. And Bub's not like a necessarily a pass first, but he is more of an old school point guard. Keyshawn George last night had 6 assists. Like they saw the court really well and were passing really well. A lot of skip passes. I was very encouraged, and it's only summer league, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. The last note I made, actually, I got two more. One, I don't know what his future is with the Wizards, but Leaky Black is an all-time name.
I like his name.
I'm rooting for Leaky.
I kept hearing him say Leaky. I'm like, oh, I think that is a playground name right there.
100%. Leaky Black, we are rooting for you. And then, Laz, I don't know if you noticed this. Did Trey, he almost airballed a free throw late in the game. Like, I might even go back and watch. I almost wonder, you know, sometimes when you're hitting a golf shot and you just line up the wrong way and it goes left. Like, it seemed like he almost just, like, missed the rim or something. And then the next one, I think he made 3 more after that. But
dead center.
Yeah. He did look gassed, though, at the end of that game.
Yeah,
did you notice
that? It's the first game. Well, the second game they played. And now they're going much longer against much better talent.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, even for you, when you had your first couple practices in the pros, were you like, damn.
Your first game, you're getting tired. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always say about how I knew what I can do. But that first game, you are exerting effort that you don't exert for your full practice. So that first few games are going to get you. And then you get into real basketball shape, and then everything just goes away.
I'm in on the Wiz rebuild. Can't be any more clear about that. I thought last night was a lot of fun to watch. We'll see. I still think they're going to be bad this year. Last note. So the Wiz, obviously, a lot to like. The Nets were paced by Drew Timmy. He dropped 30 points last night. You remember him from the Gonzaga days. He has like an old man YMCA game. He was also a minus 11 overall. Mm-hmm. Like, Drew Timmy
can play offense.
He's annoying.
Yeah?
He is so annoying to watch.
But he's just like Legler said last night, looked like he played 9 years in college.
Dude.
He was around a long damn time.
So Drab loves him, and I tried to ask how old he is. I swear that dude's 30.
Nah, he's about 23, 24, 25. Because they say
24.
He's 2 years older than most of the guys he's playing against.
Right. And in this summer league, which is like a development product, I don't think it's about Drew Timmy dropping 30.
Y'all, you don't have to make fun of me, AMAC, every chance you get. But that's okay. If you want to, you know, belittle me, that's all right. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. 47 minutes after the hour. Let me correct a mistake I made. Angel Reese, I mentioned coming off an awful game, and somebody pointed it out on Twitter that she wasn't. A rational fan at RC_fan91. I saw the wrong thing. I saw a stat line on Instagram from somebody who clearly wanted to expose Angel Reese, and it was like 2 points and like, so my bad. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. It's hard to keep up with everything. She's been great. She had a moment recently. I don't remember which game. Ooh, brutal. All right, joining us right now is our guy Ben Strober. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ben Strober Media, as part of the 106.7 Team 980 crew here. Mr. Strobes, appreciate you. How are you?
I am doing well.
Let's get your microphone up. Sorry, I forgot to lift up the lever.
We're good. I'm doing well, Rooster. Appreciate you having me on. It's a good day here in the district. A lot to talk about.
Absolutely. So one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on, besides Wizard Summer League, which we'll get to in a sec, is you called the Cape Cod Summer League games last year of national second round pick Ethan Petrie. Big power hitter, South Carolina. He won the league MVP of the Cape Cod League. And now he's the national second round. And I was just pointing out, it's kind of ironic because they bypassed a big power bat in Ethan Holiday. And a lot of people are kind of like wondering why for Eli Willits. Well, then they go and get the power bat in Ethan Petrie.
Yeah, and this is a situation where they're also able to use him as a guy they probably underslot here with the 49th pick, and they've taken some notable high school guys, prep guys, in the next couple of rounds, guys that project really well, high-ceiling players, and they'll be able to overslot pay those guys. So they save money with the first two picks they made, and Petrie is a premium that the Nats have been looking for a while. They're definitely in need of a first baseman long-term and somebody with pure power, and getting to call his games last year for the Yarmouth-Dennis Red Sox, this dude just has unbelievable raw power, especially to the pole side. And he's not just a power hitter. I know that's a lot of the rap that he'll get, but this is a guy that can hit well for average, gets on base with high efficiency. I think it was over 1,000 OPS in his career at South Carolina, slugged over 700.
Right. Not just a power hitter. Exactly.
Yeah. But, I mean, the power tool is what the Nats are specifically looking for because they have lacked that now really for years, especially at first base.
And it's a power game. I mean, we see it all the time. Not that baseball is boiled down to hit a home run or strike out, but for a lot of guys, it's become really about that. And we know it's exit velocity, launch velo, all that stuff. But to your point, they haven't had a masher, a guy who can change around a game with one swing of the bat. James Wood can, but James Wood, I think, is a much, much more advanced player than just a masher. Sure, he can hit the long ball. Yes, he hits left-handers. Yes, he hits the all opposite. But he's a much, probably, more well-rounded player than Ethan Petrie is probably going to be. And I'm not trying to cut him short. When at the Cape Cod League, how would you describe the level of competition there? That is some of the best what?
It's the best of the best college baseball players. I mean, if you look across the board of who's been taken, especially in the early rounds of this draft, a ton of the pitchers pitched there on the Cape Cod Baseball League. Ethan Petrie, his freshman year at South Carolina, he took Paul Skeens deep, and then they instantly drug tested him the next day. That's a real story, by the way. But that's the best competition. You are facing elite MLB-level prospects, guys that are coming off their first or second year in college.
Great little nugget there, Strobes.
It's hilarious.
You sure about that?
That's what he told me. I'm telling you verbatim what he told me.
Okay.
But getting to know a lot of those players, the people that have aspirations, you really get a feel for who is super serious, who's the most motivated. Ethan Petrie struck me as one of those guys. He would be one of the first people at the field every single day, taking extra swings in the cage. And, you know, he was so friendly to us broadcasting the games. He would, when he would struggle or whatever, he would come up to us and tell us exactly what he thought was wrong with the swing, what he was trying to work on. He's a guy that lives and breathes baseball for the most part, and he just has a lot of fun while doing it. He got to play a variety of positions with our team. He was primarily an outfielder in college, and he did the same thing in the summer, but he had told me that he was going to be a pro-level player,
right,
playing first base playing instead first of the outfield. Base. He kind of projects, to me, a great player comp if you reach the full ceiling that you want out of Ethan Petrie is a guy like Pete Alonso.
That was a comp that a lot of people had.
Yeah. Very similar build, play at first base, and just mashes the baseball, can change a game with one swing.
Listen, if the Nationals got Pete Alonso in the second round last night, you could do a lot worse than that.
Yeah.
You can do a lot worse than that. How long is the Cape Cod League, and how, you already talked about how aware he was of what he was doing right, wrong, whatever, where he was at, and accountable. How many games is that? Is it? Because I don't know a whole lot. I mean, I hear the Cape Cod League all the time, but I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah, I'll break it down. It's 40 games summer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the guys.
So you get a good feel.
Yeah, but a lot of these guys also will not be there the whole summer because right. It usually starts while the regionals and super regionals are still going. And South Carolina the year before was in the regional. And Ethan Petrie actually broke his finger in the regional. He played through it. And then once the season was over, he took about 2 weeks off to heal before he came up and joined us. So he played about 30 games. So that's a pretty significant sample size to see what he was able to do. And from the get-go, just watching him swing in batting practice, it was like an absolute spectacle. You're like, my God, this dude is powerful.
He can hit to the opposite field too, and right center and all that, right?
Yep. He's got power, especially to the pole side, but he can take the ball the other way. Hits for average the other way pretty well. He's been known to pluck the ball in the gap in right center field. And for a guy his size, he's not slow. Like, he's got good enough speed where, you know, he can make a difference on the base paths. He's not going to be a liability out there running the bases, I'll tell you that right now.
All right. Good little lowdown from somebody who has called, you know, many games of Ethan Petrie, the national second-round pick, our guy Ben Strober, part of the 106.7 and T980 family here at Ben Strober Media on Twitter and X. All right, so one of the other reasons why we wanted to have you on just for a couple of minutes here before the top of the hour is the Wizard Summer League. Impressive last night. They lost on Friday night. Who cares? But, you know, clearly Trey Johnson has been a buzz guy, and you would expect that as the number six overall pick. What stood out to you last night amongst the many things that stood out, I think?
Alex Saar, protecting the rim. I know that's been the best part of his game, even from his rookie season while he was still working on his offensive development. And there were at times last night early on in the game, to me, where Alex Saar maybe pressed a little bit. And they were making a conscious effort to try to get him the ball and get him going because he was pretty much non-existent in the first half in the game on Friday against Phoenix. And then he kind of padded his stats a little bit toward the end of the contest. Once he picked it up after kind of a slow start yesterday, because there are just a couple instances where I see Alex Saar around the rim, and maybe he lacks a little bit of coordination or something that could help him out. Like, he just sometimes doesn't go up strong enough. But the second half, he was excellent. I thought he played confidently. I thought he played strong. And the way he's able to help from the weak side as a defender, because the big rap about Alex Saar is that he probably fits in as the four instead of the five long term here at Washington. And if you are playing the four, you primarily will have him sometimes playing off the weak side. He's able to come over and be disruptive. I know Drew Timmy, I don't even know how old he is, but it seems like he's like 30 years old. He's not.
I would be willing to bet 38. I'm just teasing.
Well, once Timmy,
I mean, he's got that porn mustache, you know.
Once Timmy got his shot stuffed and Saar had his seventh block, I believe, he is a threat down there. There were a couple instances where guys would get around the paint and they'd see Saar right there coming, and they'd elect to dribble the ball back out or pass it. He is that kind of player that has an intimidation factor to him around the rim. He could have had double-digit blocks if there were a couple of opportunities right. Where guys actually did decide to shoot the ball, but wisely they did not do it.
All right, quickly before the top of the hour, before we run out of time here, Will Riley looked good last night, the second first-round pick. As well, I mean, obviously, Trey Johnson, I had that crazy dribble off the dude's leg the other night. he had a couple of off-balance threes. I mean, it looks every bit the part. I know the level of competition is what it is. Nobody's putting him in the Hall of Fame, but your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Trey Johnson, honestly, to me, I've probably seen enough. He looks comfortable, he looks calm, and he looks just poised as a scorer at this level. And he is great with the basketball in his hands. And, you know, you depart Jordan Poole this offseason. I think Trey Johnson instantly kind of slots in exactly as a similar type of player, a guy that you give the ball and say, we need a bucket, Trey. He will get you those opportunities. And I wouldn't be frustrated. I wouldn't be mad at all if they did want to see him play one more game, maybe with some of the other backup players that probably won't be playing in the regular season. Because I'm pretty sure, like, Bob, Keyshawn, and Saar probably done after game two from what we were hearing from a lot of the reporting before the summer league. But Trey Johnson absolutely just looks the part so far. And what we've seen defensively from him, too, is very impressive, because that's been the one negative aspect right. to his game that people talked about coming right. out of Texas, was that he was not a very tenacious defender. He is out there flying around to the basketball. I think the perimeter defense from the guards, Carrington and Johnson, has looked really good. The effort has been excellent from those two defensively. And, you know, Trey said it after the game. You know, they don't care if I can score the basketball. They care if I play defense. And, you know, you love to see a guy who has learned that mentality already from the organization since getting here just a couple weeks ago.
Well, I think that's the DNA of what Will Dawkins wants to build
here. That's right.
Is exactly how they kind of built it in Oklahoma City. Defense first. Defense first gives you a chance. Ben Strober, appreciate you, my friend. Great job on the insight on Ethan Petrie, the national second-round pick. You called his games in the Cape Cod League last summer, so good insight there that ain't going to be anywhere else. And as well on the Wizards, Locked On Wizards. Make sure you check out the guys. Summer League action going on. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Rooster.
That's
always
my guy, Ben Strober, with us here on the Team 980. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. We'll get back to the Nationals. We'll get back to Wizards Summer League next. Where did Jaden Daniels rank in ESPN's quarterback poll? That's next.
Our guy Varun Shankar joins us from the Washington Post, breaking down a couple of games of Wizards Summer League. Varun, give me a couple of headlines here from the first couple of games.
Trey Johnson looks really good. The shooting is translated. The ability to get his own shot and use his high release point to shoot over defenders has translated. He's been surprisingly adequate as a defender, and he's been a pretty willing playmaker. Another headline, Alex Saar is up and down, but trending up now. It was a really tough first game for Saar, but he bounced back in the second game, recorded a summer league record 8 blocks against Nets.
What have you made of Bob Carrington in his first two games in the summer league?
Yeah, it's tough to say with Bub. He's been a little all over the place at times. They're playing really fast, and he's one of the players who's been asked to do so, so you see him racing up the court a lot. And I've liked some of the things he's done. I think he's done a good job getting some of the offense organized, but there have been some moments where Bub's primary weapon right now is his pull-up jump shot, and he loves using it. And sometimes I think he falls too in love with it. There are moments where, you know, you're early in the shot clock, and he'll dribble into a mid-range that's not even that open. And those are the shots that I think, you know, you can get a better shot than that. That's a great option late in the shot clock, but early on, work the ball around as a point guard. And, you know, he's not a traditional point guard, but he's the most traditional point guard they have on the summer league roster right now. As a point guard, it's your responsibility as well to get the ball distributed. I've also would like to see a little bit more rim pressure from him. That's something he didn't do much in his rookie season. It's something that's really essential, especially because Trey Johnson hasn't done too much of that either. But I will say that Bub's defense has looked much improved from his first season. You can tell his activity, his engagement, and some of the physical improvements he's made have shown up.
Not asking for judgments here based off a couple summer league games and a rookie year where he was off the ball, but Carrington's future as a point guard, like, what do we think? I'm curious. I want to see it. What better time to experiment than now or even in the regular season? I'm fine giving him the reins for, you know, however many games he's available, but just give me a prognosis. Let's real fast forward a couple years from now, he's a point guard, question mark?
No one's really a traditional point guard in the NBA at this point. I think he's someone who can initiate part of an offense, but without the rim pressure being something that he can do. And I do think it's something he can develop. He's someone who's a really nuanced pick-and-roll navigator. I just want to see him do a better job of getting to the rim, stretch the defense, and then use what I think is a really good bit of vision for him to distribute to teammates.
I'm a really big fan of Keyshawn George. He showed super well in the first game, struggled from the field, but I still think played well overall in the second game of Summer League. You saw flashes during his rookie season. What do you think his ceiling is?
It looks higher than before. Keyshawn has, he's not the most explosive athlete in the traditional running, jumping sense, but he's really strong. He's a big guy. He's got great wingspan, and you've seen that some of the improvements he's made in the weight room have already translated. In the first game, he's driving against on a fast break against Sun Center Kaman Maluach, who's massive. And Keyshawn puts a shoulder into him and knocks him back. Yesterday, he's posting up a smaller Nets player, and every time he bumps the Nets guy bounces back like a foot, and then Keyshawn hits a nice fadeaway. You combine that with some of the improvements he's made to his handle and the natural playmaking and feel for the game he showed in his rookie season, I think you might have something more than what we initially thought. This might be someone who's a long-term starter on a really good team.
What did we see from Will Riley? Really impressive, hyper-efficient in the second game there, certainly. Just kind of give me your thoughts on his summer so far.
He's been very aggressive in the second game, and that's something the coaching staff wants him to do more of. He is already someone with a really polished scoring game. You see the counters that he's built in. I think yesterday you saw the crossover he used to bump Danny Wolf and then get the and one. You also saw him use a pump fake and a step through move to get another and one. And, you know, these are things that it's polished stuff for a 19-year-old. You're also seeing some of the concerns that people had, mainly his frame. He's getting bumped around a lot on defense. That's something he's going to need to add weight. I think he's saying he's having about 3,500 to 4,000 calories a day right now. So same. That's something that he's going to need to improve on. But, you know, I would not be surprised if he starts the year in the G League, especially because the Wizards have a really crowded wing rotation. But he's looked pretty good so far. And he also got a lot of praise from J.J. Outlaw for some of the work he did capping out offensive rebounds yesterday.
How different do you think this Wizards team looks in terms of the growth for the young guys from last year to this year and incorporating guys like Trey Johnson in? Do you think we see a better brand of basketball, maybe like we saw at times last season, or do you think it's still going to be quite a bit of growing pains?
I think it's still going to be quite a bit of growing pains. These are all still really young players. Bub is only going to be, he turns 20 after Summer League, and Sarr, I think, still 20 years old right now. Johnson is 19, Riley is 19. So you're going to see a lot of those same mistakes. I think you want to see more growth on the defensive end. That's something that can, you know, especially with Sarr, Koulibaly, Keyshawn George, you want to see some more of that defensive playmaking. You want to see them be better as a rebounding team. I think offense is still going to be a work in progress, but that's why you have the season.
Marcus Smart. How long is he with the club? What's his role going to be this year?
I think Marcus is someone who the team is looking to see if they can put him in a situation that's more apt for his career role right now. But I do think they also love the impact he has in the locker room. You look at the veterans the Wizards have on the roster, Smart, Middleton, CJ McCollum are the three that come to mind. CJ and Chris are great veterans. They're very calm players. They are very, you know, mature players. They've had a lot of success in this league. But Smart adds something different than even those two in that he's more feisty. He's more fiery. And I think that's something that this Wizards team, which struggled with physicality in the first game and kind of needed to pick it up in the second game, really could use. So I think the Wizards are not super eager to trade Smart, but I would not be surprised. I would be surprised if he's on the team after the trade deadline, but I do think they might wait until then because he could have some value, especially if he has a strong start to the season.
Varun, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
High noon in the District of Columbia, as well as Laurel, Maryland, where Brian and I are live. Eastern Motors commercial shoot, Terry McLaurin in the building. We expect to hear from him maybe about 45 minutes or so. We will see. Big news also, they sell barbecue flavor twist Fritos here, in which Brian and I are partaking. I'm excited, though, right now to go to the Rude Guest Hotline, talk to our friend, Mr. Wes Hall. Let's start with a simple question, Wes. Where are you?
I am physically in D.C., and I had an adventure getting back here. Do you want to hear it or not?
Oh, yeah. We want to hear it. So you were in Vegas for Summer League, right?
Yeah, so I hit a wall. That weather that happened on the 9th on Wednesday, I sat on the dark tarmac at DCA for, I think, 3 hours, and it took a total of 8 hours to get to Vegas. And then yesterday morning, I'm up at 7 o'clock for a 9 a.m. flight. I land in DCA at 12:30 in the morning. So, yeah.
Wait. What happened coming back? Luck?
Another wall of water. Yeah. Another that big storm last night. I got diverted to Atlanta and spent 5 hours down there before we finally got clearance to come back here. So,
I am sorry. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, buddy.
Good news, though. If we're looking for good news, now, yeah. Obviously you can watch Wes Hall on Monumental Sports Network, hosts all of your Wizards and Mystics pre- and post-game shows.
Yep.
The good news, you were out in Vegas to watch these young Wizards in Summer League.
Young, talented.
Doug, I am encouraged, Wes. How are you feeling?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm super encouraged. I think that's the appropriate word, JP, because the contrast between Game 1 and Game 2, that's where my encouragement comes from. That first game out, even the players said it. That was not their game. They felt like they got embarrassed, and they weren't really the way that they wanted to play. That second game against Brooklyn, that's when you saw an activation, increased intensity, more physical game, guys playing more as a unit versus playing as individuals, and that's why they were able to get that big win, especially with Sarr, 8 blocks, a summer league record. Come on, man.
Yeah, the thing about him, man, he can be a problem for a lot of people. I'm not going to go there right now. Which player you think gives you the most excitement?
Most fun to watch, because I love Bob Carrington. So, like, that's my guy. I love the dog and Keyshawn, but I'm going to be honest with you. It may seem like I'm playing a little favor with the draft class, but if you don't know who Trey Johnson III is now, what's wrong with you? Like, that young man, and here's the crazy thing about it. It's not just what we saw during plays, because I'm sitting right there. I'm right there behind the bench. I'm watching how he interacts with J.J. Outlaw and his teammates between plays. The frustration he has when the play doesn't go his way and how he immediately responds and does something that helps his team, that kid's special.
Mm-hmm. Dude, totally. The way he can get his shot off so fast and how smooth it all looks is really, really – I mean, he's got some real S to him, man. And you can see it right away.
Most definitely.
What's he like a guy? I know you've got to talk to him and stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, he's really cool. If you've had a chance to see how he and Bub go back and forth, that's genuine. That's really genuine. It's not a tongue-in-cheek thing at all. But I love the fact that he's serious about his craft. He loves basketball, and he takes an extreme amount of accountability regarding his improvement and his performance. And, you know, you guys know, we've covered sports for years. There's nothing worse than an athlete that shucks off responsibility.
Sure.
Trey is the complete opposite of that. He's like, I had a bad game. Or that's not what I want to do. I want to improve. Well, what did Bub say to you? Bub said I was trash, so I decided to go out because I wasn't trash. Like, that's the kind of stuff that makes it fun to watch, you know?
Yeah.
But looking at Oklahoma City and this group helped build that over there, and you start looking at the talent here, they're very similar of how they're trying to build it. You know, do you see the similarities between the two?
I do, even when you look at sometimes you can do, you know, a height-weight comparison. You see a Chet Holmgren and you see an Alex Sarr because they're really tall, kind of thin guys, can play the 4 or 5. I see a gathering of a lot of talent, and here's what I mean by that. You've got Bilal, Tristan from a previous draft class. You got all of last year's draftees from Washington. You add an A.J. Johnson as well. Love that. Then you get this year's class. Oh, by the way, you add Cam Whitmore? Mm. What?
Yeah.
Like, this is about to be a young, yes, but fun team to watch this season. I'm not worried about wins and losses. Obviously, we want to win. I'm not going to put a number out there and say, we're going to win this number. I don't know what that number is. But I know this. The journey is going to be much more pleasurable because this is a far more competitive team than I've seen in a long time, and they have great chemistry with each other.
Dude, I agree with you. I thought they played hard last year. I mean, there were some ugly losses, but generally the Wiz played hard in every game. Talking with our friend Wes Hall, Emmy Award-winning host and talent over at Monumental Sports Network. You can give him a follow at Real Wes Hall, or you can watch all of his work pre- and post-game, Wizards and Mystics. Dude, a kid that impressed me the other night, and you and I were actually talking about this at Jimmy and Zimmer's wedding, that – I was really excited when I thought they drafted the kid Clayton from Florida. Then they trade out of that pick and take Will Riley from Illinois. He looked really good in the second half of that game.
Hey, you want me to tell you a little story, too? Here goes another one. At Summer League, game 2, sitting next to Bub's mom on my right. Who am I sitting to on the left? Will Riley's mom on my left. And when I tell you, first of all, she knows hoops. Yes, she used to play hockey, but she knows hoops. And every time he was on the court, she's screaming exactly the right thing for him to do every single time. And it was his second half performance where he really stepped up. starts knocking down shots, creating space. He knows the right thing to do, attacking the rim, getting rebounds. Will Riley, just like how kind of we did last year where most people were focused on Alex and Bub, well, check this out. While you're focused on Trey and the acquisition of Cam, don't forget Will Riley. Do not forget this kid out of Illinois. Big motor, a ton of athleticism in his background. I'm excited to watch him, too.
He probably had a better second half because Bub probably went to him and told him he sucked, too.
Yeah, yeah. There's a common denominator here when it comes to inspiration of the team. Go to Bub and get a fire lit up under you.
Yeah, Bub seems like that kind of dude, honestly, man.
Baltimore,
dude. Right, exactly.
Yes.
You mentioned the kid, A.J. Johnson, who so our boy Jeff Walker just had to walk out. But A.J., when you watch him play, the skill needs a lot of refinement, I would say, but the athleticism is off the charts. Yeah.
A.J., in the two games he's played, is averaging 10 points, but you are absolutely right. He's like a raw diamond. You know what I mean? It's a diamond. You're going to chisel it down and make whatever stone cut you want out of it, but it is most definitely raw, and that's exactly what you want, because for this front office and this team, you can really make it what you want. You know what I mean? Sure, Milwaukee originally selected him. We acquired him through a trade, and as soon as he showed up, we all remember the big dunk last year. He can jump out of the gym. He did the same thing in Las Vegas. Do not sleep on A.J. And I'll give you this nugget, too, because when I talked to Will Dawkins about, you know, what A.J. meant at the time as far as coming in, he was basically saying that A.J., even though we acquired him last year, was a bit of a head start on this year's draft class. So it really, really balanced out the way that they were able to draft over these past two seasons, and getting A.J. gave them a head start on this year's draft class.
Oh, that's good stuff.
I'm with you there. I think it's funny that, you know, Keyshawn George he's only played a year, but he just seems to have really settled into a good role. I've been excited by him because, you know, last year's class, like, we all talk about Bub and Sar, but the way he shoots, and now he's, like, kind of getting – I thought he played good defense the other night. Wes, I'm going to confess to you. I am the most excited I've been about the Wizards in a really long time. Because even those Wall Beal years, they were fun, but they weren't really a contender in the East. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
But they weren't good enough to actually matter. I love this approach where they're not trying to build kind of good. They're trying to build good enough to actually matter. And it's going to be a while, but the young guys, man, I watched that whole Summer League game the other night, and I was –
first time
I've never done that in my life.
I was going to say, that sounds remarkable for you because I know how you get that.
Yeah.
Check out that through the whole thing. I'll give you this. What's the most important part of a house if you're going to build a house? What's the most important part?
Foundation.
Talk to me, B-Mitch. The foundation. Mm. If you don't build it right from the ground up, I don't care what window dressings, paint, kind of roofing, shingles, it doesn't matter. The foundation's wrong, the whole thing crumbles. Keyshawn George is a part of that foundation, and here's why. And we talk about, you know, all-star snubs and all kind of stuff that happened throughout a player's career. Not that he didn't want to be a part of the Rising Stars last year, because what guy doesn't? But I think the fact that he did not get that, talk about lighting a fire under somebody, Keyshawn George, two games in Summer League, 17 points. Like, the kid is tough as nails, using his size to his advantage, boxing out guys twice his size. Keyshawn's a competitor, man. Like, don't sleep on Keyshawn George. Do not forget it. Yeah, I'll tell opponents sleep on him.
I'm with you on
What he's saying is, like, you got a bunch of guys on this team that they don't shy away from competition. Ignites them.
They're trying to build that. I think when you listen to Dawkins, you listen to Keith, that's exactly what they want.
You have to have that, right? Because this isn't a lollygag league. I forget who I was talking to. You know what
part
I mean?
Of the reason they traded away some of the dudes they traded away, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, because you got to have guys that want to be super competitive, like the addition of Marcus Smart last year. What did Marcus Smart do? Brought that competitive fire to the team.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to lay down. We're not going to be the pushover team of not to say that the previous teams were, but that reputation of I can go to D.C. and get me a dub, or I can go to D.C. and take a night off. Mm-hmm. Not on this team, you can.
Yeah.
No, but this team, you better lace them up.
Bring your lunch pail.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Dude, even last year, they didn't win a lot of games, but they fought hard. You know what they did a lot, Wes? They covered the spread. I can tell you that.
Hey, there we go. I do have a good story to tell you about a little fun I had on the tables out there at the casino, but we'll talk about that later on.
You can talk. We're wide open for that kind of discussion here.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm with it.
Craps.
Talking yes. about Jack.
Good guess. Who told you that?
Hey, man, I know the games.
Talk with our friend Wes Hall joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can give Wes a follow at Real Wes Hall. Watch him on Monumental, all the Wiz and the Mystics coverage. So tonight, I just looked this up.
Yeah.
There's a Mystics game late tonight, right?
Yes. I've never been happier in my life.
Why?
Oh, boys, after the travel I've had, I need a good nap today. 10 o'clock is perfect.
All right. So what time are you on tonight for the Sticks?
Oh, Sticks pregame starts at 9:30. I'll be on there with my man, Coach Jimmy Patsos, who also was out in Vegas with me. So be prepared for story time tonight. We've got the Jimmy's basketball world to work cover.
You know why Jimmy's a good guy to work with?
Why is that?
Ask Jimmy one question, he'll talk the next 15 minutes.
Oh, trust me. I've never had a bad night in the office with Coach, because if I'm tired, I'm like, hey, Coach, talk to me about, and then from then on, it's like, okay, cool, coming up, going into break.
Yeah,
I love
man.
That guy.
I mean, when I was doing those all casts, me and Jimmy, we'd fill that show no problem.
Oh, bro.
No, oh, my God. We got to do a standing word count.
But we actually had a caller yesterday call in. So we were doing a segment, what rebuild do you believe in more, the Wizards or the Nats? And to me, it's the Wizards for me, because whatever they're trying to build, you also have an owner that has previously shown he will spend money. And the Nats have stopped showing that ability.
Yeah.
But we had a caller call in and say, man, you should be checking out the Mystics rebuild. They've won their last three. They're 7-3 in their last 10. And if the playoffs started today, and they don't, but if they did, the Sticks are in there, right?
Sticks are in at 11-10 right now. And thinking about the last time they had a four-game win streak, you got to go back to the wobble back when the COVID year, when the Dub went into the bubble as well. They had a four-game streak and actually closed out that season with a dub and made it into the postseason because of that four-game streak. It all starts with the youth. Well, it really starts with Brittany Sykes, who I feel got snubbed. We all do. She should have been an all-star. Different conversation. But looking at the spectacular performances of Kiki Ariafin, who got her seventh double-double last game. That's a franchise record. Who held it before? Shamika Holtzclaw. Hello. Whoa.
Yeah.
Epic performance. Sonya Citron, silent assassin, man. Like, shout out to Jameela Weidman for drafting such great talent. We always love Georgia Amore. We'll see her next year when she recovers from that ACL. But for the performance of these young players, it makes it so fun to watch. Shout out to Shakira Austin as well. She's a dog. Like, let's go, man. Like, this team is fired up. I'm supposed to take a nap right now, but I can't because I'm ready. You guys got me turned up just now.
When is the WNBA All-Star break? Is that next week?
They go on break starting tomorrow. So this is their last game. They'll be back on the 22nd. So I think that might be my time for a little staycation action.
Yeah, dog, you deserve it with all the travel. So how do you juggle tonight? The Wiz are on at 8:30, right?
Yeah, well, I took a page out of the JP Finley book. I watch multiple screens at the same time.
That is the only way to live in the year 2025.
Yeah, that's why y'all minds all messed up, watching all these different things at one time.
I'll tell you, that's why we can't maintain a single conversation.
JP cannot stay on topic to save his damn life.
We've been talking about the Wizards for 20 minutes. I'm chilling.
Yeah, talking about the Wizards, TVs, and everything else.
Since I can't stay on topic, Wes, I'm curious if you saw that the Commanders announced they're going to retire Art Monk's jersey.
Monk getting it retired?
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
Put it up there. Let's go.
Yeah, look, pretty darn neat, I think.
The fun bunch, brother, that is fun. We talk fundamental, foundational. Favorite time watching that team was watching the fun bunch, bro. Like, him, Gary, and the guys. Like, I remember, what were those
starting
lineup action figures?
Yeah, starting lineups.
Yeah, I had all those, man. Like, awesome. Oh, my gosh, bro, you just brought it.
Wes, how old are you again?
Don't worry about that.
Wes showing a little age, well, mentioned in the fun bunch.
I'm talking about the Mystics. And
how old are you for real? Seriously.
I'll give you a guess. I was born during the 19-somethings.
How about this? I would wager I am younger than Wes and look significantly older than you.
JP's 43.
Yeah, I turned 44 in
Wes,
September.
Wes, you're what, 40?
He's about 42, 43, same as Wes.
No, no, good guess. But no, I am sitting strong at a 45 piece.
All right.
You look good,
45
dude.
Piece. I take naps and drink
I hope
water.
To look as good as you at 45.
You're pretty with it. You already know, man. I'm checking you out when you're on the floor. I watch.
Start sticking on Ricky one topic.
Last thing, Wes. We did this as a call topic the other day. I'm curious what you think. Who is the next wizard that gets a super max contract?
Yeah.
And you could pick anybody on the team, or you could just pick the field. Because you look at this past NBA Finals, Halliburton and SGA were acquired via trade.
Right. Oh, next wizard that gets a super max.
Jeff said A.J. Johnson.
Jeff did say
man,
A.J.
Man, look, A.J. seems nice. If I'm going to pick off the current roster, it'd probably be between Bub and Trey.
All right.
See, I think it's Sar and Trey.
Sar's a great contender. Sar's a great contender for that. So, man, I'd have to make it my top three. But I got to pick one?
That's the rule, man.
All right, Bub.
Bub. There you have it.
More Bub. Hey,
Bub has that internal dog. That's all you need.
I mean, to quote the great Doc Walker, he got that dog in him.
He got that dog in him. He hit the floor yesterday and almost got his tooth knocked out.
Oh, I saw that when a guy fell on him.
Yeah,
the guy fell back on him and his face hit the floor, bam.
He came over, looked at his mom like, I almost came out of my mouth. And she's like, you gonna come out? He's like, I'm fine. And then walks right back out on the court.
When he hit the game winner in the season finale, that was like, I feel like that was a moment for Bub. Mm.
That was a signature moment, not only for Bub, but for everyone around him. Because that signified that kid understood the moment and was, like you said, B-Mitch, was not afraid. There's no fear with these kids. That's what I'm loving. There's no back down. I don't care who the opponent is. Yeah, I know our season's coming to a conclusion. But, hey, Miami, you're going to take this L on your court, and then I'm going to go into the offseason. I'll be back.
There you go.
I imagine that might have led to a very fun evening in Miami. You know, that game probably got over around.
I've had one or two of those.
That game got over around, 3-4 o'clock? You got a little bit of post-game, slide right on to Collins Ave, whatever it is you want to do. Wes, thank you for the time, brother. Always appreciate it, man.
Hey, brothers, I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Appreciate you checking in.
Be cool, brother.
All right, check out Wes tonight on the Mystics pregame, 9:30 on Monumental Sports Network. And I'm pretty sure you can listen to the Mystics on our sister station, Team 980.
Oh, that music. You know what that means. I can't believe we're so honored to have Linnell Willingham at NELL_BTP. You want to join the herd of people that have discovered one of America's young prospects, young talent. So, Mr. Willingham, how can our public follow you for the rest of the evening?
Yeah, I'm on overtime. I'm on the Fan. We got a loaded show. We'll talk plenty of Nats draft. We'll talk about whatever the hell these two summer league games have meant. I was just in here telling Anthony, we have a young people problem. This is where I'm going to sound old. Mm-hmm. Our effort is going to vary throughout the season because we got to decide each and every night whether or not we want to be cool and be happy to be in the NBA or do we want to go bust somebody's ass. That's going to be the mentality for the Wizards this year. It's very easy to see from the summer. How does Alex Sarr in the first half Friday night, if you all got to watch, mm-hmm. look completely disinterested in playing basketball, and he comes out and had 8 blocks last night mm-hmm. because you see him being active on the defensive end. And I think I'm also done with worrying about his offense too. He needs to play with a high motor on the defensive end, chasing defensive rebounds, being a good help side defender, being active. I can care less if he ever scores, ever, because he's struggling finishing around the rim. I think there's a confidence thing going on. He hit 100 threes last year. So if he's open and he's from downtown, I'll take that shot. But other than that, man, like, he rolled with intention yesterday. It's hard when you're listening to this broadcast and they're trying to puppy love everything that the Wizards do. Alex Sarr missed 5 straight layups on the roll. And you know what Tim Legler said? I just like the passion and the aggression that he's rolling to the rim with. Make the damn layup. You're in summer league. What the hell are you doing? Make the layup. Get fouled. I think so, nah.
Oh, I'm with you.
No, because it's frustrating.
Give me more. See, that's what I say. Give me Lou Dort.
Yeah,
give me Hartenstein. You know, I need some canines.
We act like we too cool at times, man. And that's the thing. When you talk about a young basketball team, these are dudes mm-hmm. that are like still geeked up to be in the NBA. Like, I know how it is. They you know, press to post their little picture out in Vegas and all that. But, like, you got to have the mentality of I don't give a damn. And you know what? You know who does have that mentality that I've seen? And I think it has something to do with him not being from America, but he's from Canada or wherever Keyshawn George is from. Switzerland? Where's Keyshawn George from? There's an attitude that he plays with. There is an assertiveness that he plays with. He embodies everything that the Wizards want to be. Plays the right way, can create for himself and others. He competes on defense, competes on the glass. They say he has a problem with defending without fouling. Our other guy's got a problem defending, period.
Defending.
So I don't care if he fouls while playing defense, you know? So the Summer League has been interesting, man, because there are going to be some people online where you read their stuff and what do you say, Doc? You're licking them like an ice cream cone. People like to guess what's going on. People also like to overreact to what's going on. I think my biggest takeaway is that we're going to have to monitor Alex Saar throughout the year. I think we need like a personal Alex Saar coach. And maybe it's David Vanterpool. Maybe because I'm starting to realize what he is. Some guys you can pat on the back. Some guys you got to put your foot up their ass. Alex Saar needs a foot up his ass. That's what gets Alex Saar to go. And you saw it yesterday. You can clearly, even in the second half of both of these games, he's coming out and the team's coming out more aggressive, more assertive. They can't do this cool, lackadaisical thing, man, or they're going to be a 15-win team again. But I think that's the key of having veterans with you. So,
look at the number one player selected.
Yeah.
With the Mavs.
Plays with his hair on fire.
He plays like – and see, I love my guys to play as if we were on blacktop. See, that's who I want.
I know what you mean,
I pick my team up outdoors, playing on concrete or gravel. I want to know – and they ain't a lot of these guys. But that's why I like Flag. Cause he a flat-out dog. He just wants to go play and he'll defend. If I have to ask you to defend, well, then I picked you. So I blame them both ways. First of all, I'm not selecting you.
If you can't defend like
I don't know. That's why Koulibaly.
Love
I ain't going to never have a problem with him.
Yeah.
Because his intent defend. Is he's got bad intentions.
Right.
He come on the floor understanding this could end up being getting ugly.
He's another guy. I wish he was participating in this. He's too damn nice. Bilal's too nice. He's a nice guy. You know what Bilal likes to do? He likes to play video games and work out at basketball, which is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but we got a coach. I don't know if you know guys.
I think we may have chosen the two nicest French guys that we could possibly have.
You're talking about guys that walk through no alley trying to get back home.
Well, exactly. That's why Bilal, that's why they got Bilal up in these high rises back here.
Well, I'm just saying. That depends on who's coaching. You know, it's the trainer.
Yeah, yeah.
And either one. So you can put a blame either way you want to do it. But at least I think he does have that dog in him. Part of coaching to me is developing. Can I get it out of you?
Exactly. That's why I think Keith's the right guy. Because Keith is, he'll never dog him out to the press. But Keith don't play that. Keith, like, there was a picture that surfaced on Saturday morning after practice. And it's Brian Keith, who is not the head coach of the Summer League team, obviously. That's JJ Outlaw.
Right.
It's Brian Keefe, it's Keyshawn George, it's Alex Saar, and it's Bub Carrington, the three guys that hit 100 threes and played significant minutes last year in the NBA. It looked like it was one of those serious conversations where he's telling them, like, hey, y'all not out here. I understand it's Vegas, you know, nobody's monitoring you all in your extracurricular time, and y'all out here having a good time, but we're out here for a purpose. We're out here to work and try to get better and develop good habits, and I think you saw that from the outset yesterday when they played. I thought the defense right off the rip was good. They were getting in you, picking up full court. Speaking of full court defense, and you mentioned it, Trey Johnson, man. If he's gonna give that type of effort defensively, and then the shot making is gonna be that easy for him, I don't know how long you can keep him on the bench. I want to start him. I want to let him go get 15 to 20 shots tonight and see what he does, because he's shown great footwork. I think his handle is a lot better than I thought it was. And then off the ball, we already know what he could do if he catches and shoots and his feet are set. Like, it's easy for him. He finished a couple tough layups. Like, I love everything I've seen from him.
No, but that's encouraging. That's Lanell Willingham at NELL_BTP to follow him. Brother, we appreciate your knowledge. We know you've got another assignment.
Well, I'm about to go scream on. I gave you all the PG version of it. I'm about to cuss Alex Saar ass out on the
floor. Linnell, I think this is a question also. I wanted to ask you this one question. I know you got to go. But Doc, you know, he was so, I don't even know the word, amazed that I would even, you know, utter these words. Do you think, based off what you've seen so far through two summer league games, do you think this is a Washington Wizards team that could flirt, keyword flirt, with the play-in next year?
The hell no.
All right. Hell no. I was just curious.
Are you kidding me?
Hey, look, flirt. That's what I said. Flirt. Flirt could be 11,
what is that, new
12,
age flirting?
13.
Because Doc and them used to flirt back
the
in the
East
day,
is going to be so bad next year. 30 games might get you in the play-in next year. That's how bad the East is going to be next year.
If there's no way in hell you look at this roster and you think they're capable of winning 30 games.
Hey, all I'm saying
is you better hope they give good. You better hope they give 30 good performances
next year. What is today's date? July 14th. Got you. I'm gonna mark this down, pencil it in.
If they make the play-in and lose that damn first round pick, out of fire, Will Dawkins.
This is just the first day that Lanell Willingham and Doc Walker have ever agreed on something, and I'm a proud to be a part of the moment. So
you just a liaison. That's it. Doc, you send the invoice over.
Oh, I will. Believe me. Believe me, because I was against this. But, you know,
oh, hold on. Oh, you didn't want me to come on.
No, I didn't. You know I didn't. Because I didn't want to lose the audience. See, we had built this audience up for 2.5 hours, and now it's shot. See, so that's what I'm saying.
Oh, man.
Have a good one, man.
Yes, I'll check you.
Appreciate you, Big L.
He's the best. He's a national figure, man. Come on. We were fortunate. Yeah, we were. We were fortunate. That was almost like having Hoffman here in full scale. Oh, you know, oh, the Rooster, cock-a-doodle-doo, Rooster. But good move. Let's pay a few bills now. So we went over with Big L, and we still got time to burn it up. And you know, Big L was brought to us courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Got to give them a fun bunch high five. We'll be right back.
106.7 The Fan. We live in interesting times, B. I think when you talk about DC sports right now, it's hard to figure out what team you have the most faith in and not feel weird saying it. For a really long time in this city, to say that the Commanders were the team you had the most faith in sounded nuts.
I don't think many people say that.
Now, I don't think it's even
now
close.
They say it, but they wasn't saying it in the past.
I don't think there's really – phone lines are now open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. This kind of came up on the text thread because I was like, who do people actually have more faith in? What the Wizards are doing or what the Nationals are doing? I don't know, but I want to let you weigh in. 800-636-1067. If we want to open that up broader to all the DC teams, fire away. But I don't think there's any debate that one and two are the Commanders and then the Capitals. And the Capitals are at an interesting point because you probably only have 1 year left of Ovi, mm-hmm. but they've started to develop some really good young talent.
But when you saw them play last year, you saw Ovi do his thing, but you look at the young talent they have right now, you feel that they have positioned themselves to where it's not going to be a complete drop-off.
Right.
Yeah.
And like if the Protas brothers are good, like there's a lot that could happen there. Having Jaden Daniels is just what makes this entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'd be one thing if it was new ownership, Adam Peters, we're in on this, right? But after you see Jaden Daniels have that season, it's like the Commanders are by far.
It leaves you wanting more.
Well, they are by far the team you believe in the most.
Yeah.
So my rankings would be Commanders, Capitals, and this may sound insane, but I think I have more faith in the Wizards than I do the Nationals.
Well, I think you have that faith because you have real life situations where you know the group that's in charge had a part in, and they just won the NBA championship. Then you watch just a little bit last night. Listen, we all know that they're trying to get that eighth, ninth pick, whatever's left.
Right.
This baseball team said that they will be competing this year at the beginning of the year. And they fired their manager and their GM, and they just went into a draft last night, and everybody now, after the fact, say that, yeah, this is the guy we wanted all the while. We don't know that. But ultimately, you don't see that they've made many steps farther than they were last year.
And I'll go one step further. I think with the Wizards, we don't know what will happen with these players.
We don't.
But we have seen they maybe were the wrong decisions, but Leontsis has paid up for his guys.
Yeah.
In hockey, he's always paid up for his guys.
Mm-hmm.
And in basketball, John Wall and Brad Beal got Supermax.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, they have paid up. Now, those decisions weren't right,
mm-hmm.
but there's a willingness to pay.
Yeah.
And that's a big difference. There was a willingness to pay in Natstown.
Yeah.
That willingness has gone away.
Big time.
All right, let's hit these phones. Joe is in Manassas. Joe.
What up, Joe?
Who you believe in? Hey, who do you not believe in?
What's up, fellas? I love the show as always.
Thanks, buddy.
JP, you nailed it. It's got to be the Commanders. We got the owner out of town. We got some new competent ownership. Like, the Wizards got something going on. The Cavs has always been pretty good. And like you said, I don't believe in the Nationals because they don't have the ownership to get anything done. And when you guys are a sports show, you guys are giving updates, you know, periodically. And when they're talking about, oh, the Nets got a hit to break up the no-hitter in the fifth, I mean, that's the highlight? I mean, what are we doing, man? Like, I'm just sad for the Nets fans, to be honest with you, because, I mean, they looked like they could win and put a product out there that was, you know, good. Now they're just done with it. They're just done. If they're done with it, sell the team, man. Get somebody that's actually going to respect the fans and what they bring.
All right, brother. Appreciate you.
You know, thank you, Joe. Great call, man. Appreciate you listening. I don't understand. Like, what happened that they're not trying to sell it anymore?
Because it wasn't the price that they have come up with that they feel they should get.
I don't know much about anything, Brian. Mm-hmm. That's what people on the internet continuously tell me. If you put your house up for sale and it doesn't sell, and then you take it down, it doesn't sell for more next time.
A lot of times it doesn't.
Unless you're willing to wait it
out
a while.
Everybody you hear says that the way that the learners operate, they come up with a number in mind, and they're not doing it until that happens.
Let's go to Rich in Silver Spring. What's up, Richie? Who you believe in?
There's no question the Commanders, guys, because after 25 years of literally tearing it down, I can't think of a thing that needs to be rebuilt at a greater level. And with the history, expectation level, and the football town that this is, there is no greater faith than there can be put in the administration, the ownership, the head coach, Jaden Daniels, and the way that they played. Mitch knows that. You saw the competitiveness in that team mm-hmm. in a way that we had not seen. And so there's absolute faith as them as number one. Then number two, I got to tell you, the Mystics, in their own way, are doing their own right. They're doing their own. But let's go back to the Wizards, right? You got to give the Wiz number two because the administration there, outside of Ted, right, has proven elsewhere they are league level champions. They know what they're doing. The moves that they made have been so strategic, every which way, financially, giving somebody a second chance, bringing somebody home. I mean, they totally are in tune with the ability to get this right sooner than later. So we're not looking at 16 wins again. And the Mystics, as I said, that's a hard one to do.
You got the Wiz ahead of the Caps,
generational. Well, the Caps, I mean, again, what is a rebuild with them? That's a hard thing to gauge because, to me, it just feels different about the rebuild. I mean, it's not been that long since a championship. So you have a new head coach. The rebuild, to me, is going to come after Ovechkin leaves. That's going to be a real rebuild opportunity for them, and how are they going to attack that is going to be very interesting to see.
All right.
Then you got one more on a rebuild. So your D.C. Divas have not been in a conference championship game since 2018, just came from 20 down in Pittsburgh in the fourth quarter and are now headed to the Super Bowl in Canton in 2 weeks. Let me tell you, that was a hell of a rebuild to go through COVID and to do something where people are still not being paid to do it, but love it for the game itself. So football is alive on the Commanders' side. It's alive on the women's side. And I love you guys for talking about faith-based opportunity in this town, because we're on a roll. The Defenders, there's a lot of good things happening, and I appreciate you guys very much.
All right, brother. Appreciate you, dude. Thanks for the call, Rich. Rich got all the teams. Landfill? Landfill? Go Sticks, baby. I believe the Mystics beat Seattle over the weekend. I watched a couple minutes of that. Nate is in D.C. Nate, who you believing?
What up, fellas?
What's up, dude?
What's happening?
I'm hanging in there. So, I agree with what you said. The Commanders lead the pack, as we all know. The goal really is just to win chips. You really, you know, you keep your franchise, your club afloat by getting it done. And I would say the Commanders first, yeah. I think the Caps will be second, actually, because even though this is about to be Ovechkin's last season, they tooled up. They know that the future is going to revolve around, like B. Mitch said, having the correct mix of veterans and young guys playing. This goes for all sports in general when it comes to those team structures. Behind them, I would say the Defenders. I really, even though, you know, people don't really consider that league up there, but I would say the Defenders, then the Mystics, the Wizards, and then the Nationals. But I really do like the Nationals' young core. They're going to be just fine once they add the right mix of veterans to go with James Wood and those guys that are phenomenal talents. We got to catch them while they're still in the rookie
chart. I'm with you. The Nats, if this was a young talent question, the Nats are ahead of the Wizards. They have a legit star in Wood. The Wizards have some dudes we think could be stars. Unfortunately, this isn't a young talent question. It's a what organization do you believe in? And I just fear, until proven otherwise, after watching Turner, Scherzer, Soto, like everybody get traded away and not building around the new young guys you bring in, until I see otherwise, I just can't buy into that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Appreciate the call.
All right, brother, appreciate you.
All right, fellas.
Landfill, what's your rankings?
I definitely believe most on the Commanders. Then the Capitals. The Wizards are last by a considerable margin. And so I guess I would put the Nats third.
You have the Wiz behind the Nats?
Absolutely.
Just because of the badness?
Just because not once in my lifetime have they been halfway decent. I guess during the Wall and Beal years, they had a couple of halfway decent
seasons. The Gill years, they were halfway decent.
Eh, I don't know about that.
I think the Gill teams were better than the Wall teams.
Gill?
The Gill, Karan, Jameson years?
Yeah, those years were good.
I think they were better than the best Wall Beal team was a 4 seed?
Mm-hmm.
I think. Wasn't it a 4-5? The best Gill team, before Gill blew out his knee, they were number one in the Eastern Conference. And I'm still not sure they would have beat Cleveland in the playoffs, but they were at least in position in the regular season. They were good. I love that team. Shout out to Gill. Let's go to Ron in Upper Marlboro.
Can't say shot in Gill, dog.
Ron, who do you believe
in? Hey, guys. Yeah, Eddie Jordan coached All-Star game that year. But I actually disagree with you guys about the Redskins or the Commanders being the top team. I have the most faith in the Wizards. And the reason why is because I have faith in the young guys improving over the faith that I have in the old guys still being able to hold on. So Wagner is great. He's better than anything comparatively that the Wizards have. And the tight ends are good. And the Lattimore is hurt. He may come back, and if he's good, then he'll be great. But with the Wizards, they have a bunch of young players who have shown a lot. And this new rookie, Johnson, he seems like the real deal from watching the two little summer league games that I've watched. But I'm picking the Wizards over the Commanders as far as who I have the most faith in.
What?
Because they are – go ahead now.
You're taking the Wizards ahead of the Commanders?
The Wizards haven't won anything yet, dog. But you saw the Commanders come.
They haven't. But the Commanders
added, in 1 year, they added a quarterback and went to so I don't understand. You haven't seen no success. You're still hoping and wishing.
No, you're absolutely right. I am hoping and wishing. But what is faith without if it's based off works, then Ron, it's not based anymore, right?
Ron, my guy.
Yeah. Oh, JP, come on. Seriously.
I am here for the Wizards rebuild. I'm all in. But to put the Wizards ahead,
hey, Daniel,
you have the Wiz at number one of the teams you can believe in town?
So Jaden Daniels is amazing. He's the best player on the best team, or the most important position. That is enough to put a whole lot of faith. But the rest of the team, they've got holes, and they're giving away draft picks to build, and it's good. But football is a game where you need youth, and they don't have a whole bunch of proven or even up-and-coming youth. They have one amazing player. Who else is amazing on the team who I can say is going to be good? Trey Amos, I really hope he's really good.
I thought Sarah still had a
Sarah still is damn good.
Say that again, B-Man.
Mikey Sarah still is damn good. Quan Martin had an unbelievable year last year. I could go down the line and
Cosby's
name
a really good
people,
player. He's coming back from
injury. Football is not about young. I think people like to say that too much. Football is about the right combination.
I just
– okay.
Ron, I don't know that you can put the Wiz ahead of the Caps. The Caps were in the second round of the playoffs last year. I love what the Wiz are building and want to be optimistic. But, like
– the Caps are old. Ovechkin, he's about to retire. The caller a couple callers ago said it correctly. Their rebuild starts after he leaves next year.
The Caps, to their credit, have successfully tried to thread that needle where they've gotten a lot younger.
And they've done a very good job.
And developed and kept Ovi around. Ron, I love this phone call, but I certainly respectfully very much disagree with you.
That's fair.
Ron, do you want to stay on hold while I ask Landfill about your take? Because you might want to hear this.
Well, Landfill just said that he was the Wizards haven't been good in his lifetime. So unless he's eight, then I don't know about what he has to say.
I think in the NBA there's a fair discernment between good. Like making the playoffs in the NBA doesn't necessarily mean you're a good team. Ron, I appreciate you, man, sincerely. Have a good afternoon.
All right,
B, can you imagine putting the Wizards
with a hell of a stretch right there?
I mean, the Wizards haven't won 50 games since they were the Bullets, like in the 70s. They haven't had a good season since I've been alive. They just haven't. I'm sorry.
Regardless of that, and I'm not sure you're incorrect. Can you imagine in the year of our Lord 2025 saying the Wizards have a brighter future than the Commanders?
But see, that's the thing, right, though. The question was never the brighter future. It's what you believe in now. And to be honest with you, we started this thing off about the Caps and the
Nats and the Wiz.
The Nats and the Wiz. And that's what you got to do, Jay. You got to learn to keep it to what the hell it was. You can't let people come in and all of a sudden we talking about the whole town. It's the Caps. I know, it's the Nats and the Wiz. That's it. All the other talk, we don't want to hear about it.
The way I said...
Because what you do, you find those people who are going to just automatically go against Commanders.
But he didn't seem like an anti-Commanders fan.
No, it's not
he
an anti-Commanders.
He just seemed borderline insane.
No.
That he thinks the Wizards
he's talking about what he thinks the future is going to be. We're talking about right now, presently.
I meant belief in for the future, though.
Yeah, but I mean, still, I don't know.
Because they're both young. I didn't think anybody would argue with the Commanders Caps.
I'm just saying, the Commanders in this town, if they're winning, they're number one in the people's eyes and minds all the time.
Not according to Ron from Upper Marlboro.
Well, out of however many millions of people here, that one person is going to be sometime on the other side.
Let's go to our boy, Los. Carlos Severna Park, where you got, Los?
I got a better chance of Blake Horvath leading the Navy against Alabama to win the college football than the Wizards doing everything over the Commanders. Let me just say that for number one. My take on it is, listen, just because a girl takes you back to her place on the first day to hit a home run doesn't mean that she's your girlfriend, you know? The Commanders led us to the NFC Championship game. Now, you know me. I'm a diehard Commanders/Redskins fan. You know, bleed burgundy and gold. But my number one in the DMV who I have the most trust in is the Washington Capitals. To that caller right there, I know it's not Thursday, but bleep you, because the rebuild was never happening. The rebuild happened 3-4 years ago. They still have these young guns here. And I guarantee you, you heard it here first. Once Alex Ovechkin retires, welcome to D.C., Connor McDavid. And the last team that I trust in this area is the DC United. DC United Sell the team. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Los. There you go. White Brian, who's in a better position going forward, the Nats or the Wizards?
The Wizards, and I don't think it's close.
Why?
I think the Wizards' young core is better than the Nationals' young core, and I trust the Wizards' front office to develop them a lot better.
Definitely that latter point. These dudes know what they're doing, and ownership has a willingness to spend money that is documented. The Nats do have a star player in James Wood.
They do.
And if you build a team around him.
They've had star players and a lot of people. They end up on other teams, so right. We don't know what else will happen.
If they actually would build a team around him, they could have something. Yeah. I like Gore. Maybe Willits, whatever. Maybe you could spend some money in free agency. I want to keep this going. If you're on hold, Zeke, Dre, Robert, everybody that's on hold, stay there. Nobody go anywhere. Who do you believe in more, the Nats or the Wiz?